First Thessalonians chapter number 5, and the Bible says in verse number 12, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And then the Bible says there in verse number 25, "Brethren, pray for us." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we sure are grateful, Lord, that we have the opportunity, Lord, that we have the health, Lord, that we have the desire to be in your house tonight. And as pastor's already mentioned, Lord, help us never to take that for granted. Lord, we're mindful of those that aren't able to be here tonight, Lord, and we lift them up in prayer, Lord, that you would be with them and touch and help. And Lord, I'm thankful for all these that are here tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would wipe away every distraction from our minds. Lord, help us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would, Lord, please help me to preach tonight. I need you in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words. And Lord, help me to say what I need to. And Lord, help me to refrain from what doesn't need to be said. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would receive a blessing tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, having explained here in this epistle about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, about his return, and when you get here to chapter number 5, he starts giving these commands, these short but direct statements that were very detrimental for the time before the Lord Jesus Christ would return. He talks about unity among the believers. He talks about understanding church leadership, about constant and consistent communion with God. And he talks about having the right testimony, not only before man, but before God. He says to abstain from the appearance of evil. But I want you to notice that Paul reserved a request at the very end of the epistle that was very relevant for the hour, and it's still relevant today. And it was supposed to be, and it should be, held in the highest regard, and it's still the same for the church today. Notice what the Bible says there in verse number 25. Paul gave this request out. He said, "Brethren, pray for us." Now, Paul considered, I believe, the great undertaking that God had given him for his call in the ministry. He realized the magnitude of it. He realized that it was such a great work, and I also believe that Paul realized the power of prayer. And that's why he went and he asked the church that they would undergird him in prayer, that they would pray for him continually, that he might have God's hand upon him, his blessing, his touch in all things, in all matters. And so I mentioned earlier that the Lord changed my direction as far as this message goes. And then on Friday, I started praying. I was asking God to show me what he had had me to preach. And this is where he brought me. I want us to think about tonight on the matter of praying for our pastor and praying for his wife. It's not something that you can just take it or leave it. It's not something that's just up for consideration. Can I tell you tonight that it's a command from the Lord and that we should make it a matter, an important matter, a necessary matter to lift up our pastor and his wife before the Lord. And notice I say his wife, because she's right there with him in the ministry. Amen. Wherever he's at, that's where she's at. Now, she's not up here preaching, but I know that she listens probably to a lot of preaching throughout the course of the week. I know Rhiannon, she'll hear a message about three or four times throughout the course of the week. I think about when I first started out in the ministry and I was doing my internship at a church out in West Virginia, and the pastor was going to give me the opportunity to baptize some people that got saved. And he said, "Brother Chris, I want you to practice on Sister Rhiannon." And she was 6 months along with Jackson. And so I got her up there in the baptistry, and I tried to put her under, and she just floated right back up. And I must have baptized her 15 times. I took her out on visitation, and she had morning sickness, and she was just about to drive out in the yard when I was knocking on doors. Listen, I'm trying to say this. We need to pray as much for the pastor's wife or the pastor's wife as we do for the pastor. They need and they covet our prayers. And I think about this from experience, but I also, as I've studied, I see that there's a powerful explanation in Scripture that we need to do this. And as I said a minute ago, it's just not something that's up for consideration. It's a command. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul said this, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings," and here it is, "and for all that are in authority." Now, we think about that a lot of times as leaders in government, but we know that God has put a man in authority over us as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ and our pastor. And so I want to ask you three questions by way of introduction this evening. Number one, I want to ask you this. Do you pray for your pastor and his wife? Now, let me ask you this. Here's the second question. How often do you pray for your pastor and his wife? And here's the third question. What do you specifically pray for concerning his life and the ministry? And I wouldn't want anybody to raise their hand, but I'm sure when I ask that question, nearly everyone, if not all, would say, "Brother Chris, I pray for my pastor and I pray for Miss E. I do it." But let us dig just a little bit deeper for just a second. Why should we pray for our pastor? But really the question is, why would we not pray for our pastor? Because the Bible says that our pastor is a gift from God. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says our pastor is a guard, so to speak, for us. The Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 2, the instruction of the pastor, "Feed the flock of God among you, taking oversight thereof." That word oversight means to care for and to look after. God has put a man in our lives that is to look after us and look over us and to watch. He's a guard that God has put in our lives for us. That's a gift. That's a blessing. The Bible says that our pastor, so to speak, is a guide. 1 Peter 5:3, the Bible speaks about the under-shepherd is to be an example to the flock. He is to be a guide for us to watch and an example, the Bible says. But let me ask you this, how should we pray for our pastor? Let me say this, we shouldn't pray flippantly. We shouldn't just, as we go over our prayer list, say, "Lord bless Brother Rick, Lord bless Miss Eve. Lord be with Brother Rick, Lord be with Miss Eve." It's got to be more than that. It's got to be deeper than that. When we think about this fervent prayer that we should have, it should have two main ingredients. Number one, there must be sincerity in that prayer.
We need to look outside of the world that we are in, and we need to step back and look at the work that God has called this man to do and the weight that is upon him when he does this work. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it says this, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Here it is. "And they must give an account that they might do it with joy and not grief, for this is unprofitable for you." What a weight for him to have that weight that he's going to stand before God and give an account for the work that he's doing, that God has put him in the place. And let me say this, not only with sincerity, but we need to pray specifically. We need to step back and let the Spirit of God lead us so that our prayers will go forth intelligently, and that the Spirit would help us to pinpoint those things that our pastor has need of, and not only him, but his wife. Now, let me say this before I get into the message. I've not had any conversation with him. He did not know that this is what I was going to preach. And I'll be honest, I've been a little nervous because I'm sure this probably makes him feel a little uncomfortable. And when I prayed about this, I don't want to step out of bounds in any way. I don't want to lift him up like he's somebody that might put a target on his back. But listen, I don't want him to make him sound like he is in need of anything that's unnecessary. So tonight, I just want to preach this message for the next few minutes, praying for your pastor specifically. It's not going to be long. Number one, we need to pray for his protection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." We know that there is a very real spiritual enemy. We know it's the devil. We know what he's about. He's about to kill, he's about to steal, and he's about destroying lives. And we know that he comes in different forms and in different fashions. And we know that he would love nothing more than to destroy the ministry of this man and to destroy his family. And he needs our prayers daily. We need to lift him up and pray for his protection, that God would have his hand upon him, that he would look over him and watch over him. Because I want you to understand this. If he can hinder him, think about all the people that will be affected. Not just people that are in this church right now, but think about the potential multitudes in the future that his ministry will reach and those that will be affected. Friend, we can't not pray for our pastor and for his protection. Number two, let me say this. We need to pray for his peace. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 15:32 that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. We need to pray that God would refresh him, give him rest in his soul, and have that peace. Now listen, I don't have a clue about what my pastor battles with. I've not talked to him about anything specifically. I don't know anything that he's underneath or some kind of load, but I do know this, and you know this as well. Every so often when I talk to him, I can hear that burden in his voice. When he talks about somebody that's sick, when he talks about somebody's soul that's lost, when he talks about a shut-in that needs some encouragement, when he talks about and discusses different things, unintentionally, he doesn't try to do that, but you can sense and hear that weight in his voice. And let me say this, he would never want us to pray that God would take that burden off of him. But listen, folks, we need to pray that every so often God would let him take a breath from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, to be able to just to take that breath and have some kind of peace and some kind of relief. Because you think about this. He carries your family around in his heart. He carries your lost loved ones around in his heart. He carries your sick in his heart continually. And we know this. The Bible says, and I think about the Apostle Paul, and I can't really wrap my mind around what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. When Paul said, setting all things outside the ministry aside. He said, putting all that aside. He said, the burdens that are unrelented in the ministry that which come upon me daily, he said, the care of the churches that he carried. There's a burden. There's something, and I cannot explain it to you, but when God called me to pastor, and I was praying about it, and I went and I preached, and I got ordained, and I remember the very first church, the very first day, I went to the church, nobody was there, and I walked into that office, and all of a sudden I felt such a reality of such a burden that came over me that I can't explain it to you, and he can't explain it to you. But it's there. It's such a serious thing. And we need to pray for his peace. Number three, let me say this. We need to pray for his passion. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul said, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I there do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I know that this shall turn to my salvation, that your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think about my pastor's passion. I think about his joy. I think about his enthusiasm. And it's obvious. And it's contagious. It is. And his tears are real, and it expresses the tenderness of his heart. But let me say this, the prayers of God's people can only help that, can only fuel that passion. And we need to pray specifically about that. You think about this man's walk as he gets up in the morning and he prays and tries to get God's mind on what to do and where to go as he walks down those halls in the hospital daily, wondering what he's going to find and who he's going to talk to and the people that he meets that seem like they're helpless and they're hopeless. And not just that, the people that he comes in contact with that are hostile and that have a heaviness about him. And you think about the work that he does. You think about all the hats that he wears. This evening he put on a choir hat and got up in the choir and sang. He wears the hat of a cheerleader. And by the way, let me say this, a male cheerleader and not a female cheerleader. I don't want to get that twisted. He puts on the hat of an encourager, an ambassador for Christ, a counselor. And let me say this, he's our worship leader. Brother Dale leads the choir. Brother Dale leads the congregation. But our pastor is the worship leader. He listens to God. He knows when to stop. He knows when to start. He leads, and we follow him as he follows the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for him. He needs to be able to feel our prayers. Number four, let me say this. We need to pray for his pause. Paul requested prayer there in the book of Philemon that they would pray for him that he might find a place to lodge in hopes that he would be released from prison. And there's a time in every person's life in the ministry, every pastor, that they need some type of relief. Now, that comes few and far between. And it's not something that they just try to do and take all the time. And I know that's the case with my pastor. But they do need that time of relief. They need that time of pause where they can step back and rest. And we need to pray that the rest that he gets is prosperous and it's pleasant. We need to pray that God would grant him time with Sawyer and with Olivia to spend that time with him. Those things that brings joy to his heart, that gives him peace, that gives him rest. Let me say this, we need to pray for his preparation. It amazes me how little preparation he seems like he needs. Hey, I'll talk to him throughout the course of the week. You got the mail yet? No, don't have it yet. And then comes in on Sunday morning and it seems like he has a whole series of sermons and he got it in one setting. But you know what? He still needs preparation. He still needs that time alone with God without interruption, with clarity of mind that he can listen and receive the message from the Holy Spirit, not just to preach, but on what to do and how to lead. He needs that preparation. We need to pray, number six, for his perception, or let me say this, his discernment. And I'm not saying this because I see that he has need of this, because honestly, I feel like he's continually in tune with the Lord. But he needs this. He and no doubt he wouldn't admit it, but he covets that we would pray that God would give him discernment because of the weight of the decisions that he has to make. Detailed decisions. Delicate situations that undertakes. Direct conversations that aren't always comfortable. And he has to have the right words and know when to say it and how to say it. How many of you are with me tonight? We need to pray for him. We need to lift him up. He needs God's mind. And we need to pray for him. We need to pray for his pursuit. The Bible says in Colossians 4 and verse 3, with all praying all also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in bonds. Our pastor doesn't have the mind to stand still, much less go backwards. I know he has the mind and the heart to go forward. And we need to pray that God would give him that fresh vision. That God would show him and open those doors wide for him to go through. And let me say this, church, that we need to go right after him and follow him as he follows the Lord. That we shouldn't pull one way or the other way. But if God has put him in this place, then we are to trust the fact that he's here by God's will and we're to follow him by the will of God. We need to pray for his physical. We need to pray not only God would keep him healthy, but God would make him strong. We need to pray for his back. We need to pray for those things. And listen, he's not going to tell us, but we need to be sensitive and listen and pick up on those things and pray specifically for it. We need to pray for his mind. I know that he has a desire. I know that this means much to him, that when somebody comes in, he remembers their name. And he wants to be personal with him. He wants to make people feel important. And he wants to remember that name so that he can go and talk to them and make them feel special. And I want to be honest, that convicts me that I don't do that like I should. And that should be an example for all of us. But we got to pray for that. We got to pray for him. We know Miss Eve truly is his mind. She's his organizer. She brings those things up, and thank God for that kind of wife. I don't know what I would do without my wife. It would all fall to pieces. But God's blessed him with his wife, and we need to pray for those things. We need to pray for his prosperity, and I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." As I was reading that this evening, I thought about that man that Pastor was speaking about this morning, that's in stage 4 cancer, and his sister has cancer. And on the outside, he seems and would seem weak and maybe feeble. But you know what? He's strong in the inner man. And you can see people and they look strong and they've got muscles and they can lift stuff and they can pull stuff, but they can be so weak inside because their inner man's not strong. And that's something that we should pray for each other and not just our pastor. That's what Paul said that he was praying for. And let me finish this. We need to pray for his provision. We need to pray God would meet his needs by every means and especially through the church. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want to overstep bounds, but God has put this on my heart. We don't just need to pray for his provision in the present, but his provision in the future. When I started pastoring, I came across this book by Ralph Sexton Jr., and I think the title of the book was Out to Pasture. And it was talking about pastors and their wives that gave their life, gave their blood, sweat, tears to a local church. And that they might have even continued longer than they should have or wanted to, but they couldn't afford to live without the help of that local church. And listen, I believe that if a man and a woman give their life for a church, give everything, their strength, their health, their years, that the church should make sure that they're taken care of when they leave the pastorate. Now, I don't know to what capacity. And I honestly, this church might have something in mind for our pastor and his wife. But let me say this, if we don't, we sure do need to pray about that. Amen. And that needs to be on the forefront of our minds. This is what I'm trying to say tonight. Listen, he does so much for everybody else. And listen, he does it for the Lord. But the very least we could do is to pray for him. Sincerely and specifically, continually. I was reading. It was amazing how I came across this. I remember reading a book on revival by Charles Finney, and he gave a list of things that hindered revival. And I remember on that list, it said something to the effect about certain sins, about not praying for missionaries. And I went looking for that text to try to find it. I was going to quote it. But you know what I found amazing when I went looking for that? I found an article about how God had mightily used Charles Finney. If you're not familiar, he was an evangelist. He had a powerful touch of God on him. He at one setting went into a factory to minister, and when he walked in, he had the presence of God so strong on him that people stopped working. And they got in a room, and all the workers came in that room, and he preached, and bunches of people got saved. But there was a man by the name of Daniel Nash, and his whole ministry was to go before Charles Finney into a town maybe a week or two before he ever got there and pray. He'd find a room in a hotel, in somebody's house, a prophet's chamber, and it was his ministry to do nothing but pray prior to Charles Finney coming to preach. And that article, as I read this, I discovered this. After Daniel Nash died, it wasn't long that Charles Finney stepped down from being an evangelist. It just wasn't the same after this man had passed away. What are you saying, Brother Chris? Our prayers count. He needs our prayers. She needs our prayers. We need to lift them up in prayer. Serious prayer. I was praying about this week. And I believe this is what God would have us to do tonight. I believe everybody that can should get up out of your seat and come up here to the altar and pray for your pastor and his wife. and make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to pray continually and fervently and specifically to lift Him up in prayer. Let's just right now, let's go.